It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I'm trying to do like my version of the the McKenzie brothers, like what's this? I feel like we should have a opening. See, we have an opening song, but I never hear it, so. Excuse me. I just ate dinner real fast before you showed up.
Me too.
So have you noticed anything different?
About what? Oh, yeah. A little bit.
It's smaller.
It is smaller.
You know what?
No.
Because there's the stuff there. No. The mountain of crap in our house is smaller. And the reason it is smaller is, I mean, it's because there's less stuff there. But the reason there's less stuff there, the 9-year-old is trying to earn and save up money to buy a Nintendo Switch. And so Trish was like, you know, we keep having this issue in that we don't keep up with our cardboard boxes that need to be flattened and recycled. Mm-hmm. So we could, and now he's been in Cub Scouts and he's done his, he's okay to use a pocket knife. So she's like, what if he did that? And I was like, okay, so this is a thing now. But it's not a thing he does, it's a thing we do. Because there's just a lot of moving parts to this, and so I'm always there. Well, we do it in the front yard. And we've done it a couple times now, and I pay him 25 cents a box. And he cuts them if needed, and flattens them, and puts them in the recycling bin. And we basically do it until the recycling bin's full. And he loves this. Like, he really does. He's like, I wish this could be my job. Like a real job. And I don't know what the driving force is. I think the overall enjoyment of it is a combination of three things. One is he's earning money. Mm-hmm. Two is, I think he actually enjoys having, like, using the knife and cutting the boxes. I think it's novel to him. Mm. And I think he likes hanging out with me. Like, he and I hang out and we talk and stuff.
Sure.
But I don't know which one is the driving force, because he's really obsessed. Like, any time I have cause to see him, he wants to know if we can do that tonight. And I'm always like, absolutely not. We do it, like, once a week. And what I don't think he understands is we're not going to get the box. There's not going to be infinite boxes. So I'm like, there's no hurry, because eventually we're going to run out, and you'll have to wait a while for them to build up again, because we don't order that often from Amazon. But, yeah, so we've been doing that, which I didn't think would necessarily go well, because the first time we did it, he cut his finger on box two.
Oh, goodness.
And, like, pretty well.
Oh, boy.
And this kid is, and I mean no disrespect for this, because this is one of the many ways in which he reminds me of a child. This kid's a major crybaby. He just immediately bursts into tears at everything. I'm in here getting more boxes, and I hear him yell something. And I'm like, what? And he says, I cut my finger, Tony. And he shows me, and he's really cut it. And, like, his eyes are watering and stuff, and he's freaked, but he's holding it together. And I was like, go to your parents' house, because they'll actually know where first aid stuff is. I sent him over there. Meanwhile, I come in here desperately looking for a quarter, because I'm like, he's not going to want to keep doing this. And he did one box. so I feel like it's fair. Mm-hmm. So I find a quarter, and I head over, and I'm like, everything okay? And they're like, yeah, we're bandaged up in here. And he's doing it, and he's like, I want to go back out, though, after we're done.
Hmm.
I was like, holy shit. So we did, and he did 11 more boxes and didn't cut himself at all.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I was very impressed. And he immediately stopped when he cut himself. It was clearly hurting, but like he didn't just like go crazy or whatever. He's like, what should I do? And I said, go home. And he did it. He did a really good job.
Cool.
So I've been pleased with that. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that in 2019 is still ignoring child labor laws. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And I'm not a child, Tony. I mean, you don't have to worry about me.
Oh, no, you're not covered under the law at all.
This is episode 426. I think. I'm pretty sure.
There's a episode of, I think 8 out of 10 cats does countdown. I don't know. It's one of the panel game show things in Britain. And comedian David Mitchell, they're supposed to bring in like a mascot.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings in this tin of what he says are Kate Middleton's toenail clippings.
Okay.
And there's multiple joke layers. But one of the jokes, obviously, is that he bought them from somebody who told him they were. Like, he has no... obviously. But the other thing is, and he gets really intense and like excited, you know, like David Mitchell usually gets intense and angry, but this is like intense and like excited, talking about how if he could just use the DNA from them, he could clone another version of her and she would have no rights under the law and just be his creature. And it's disturbing as hell.
Wow.
Because he really has the look on his face of like barely restrained ecstatic.
That's
yeah, right.
Just not even
the first time I saw it, I was like, because it really just sort of comes out of nowhere. Like the cloning thing, aha, but then he's very specific. Like, she would have no rights under law, would just be my creature of desire. And I'm like, wow. So,
not sure that's even true, but
no, I mean,
pretty sure it's
there's
not,
several actually. Levels of not true yeah. there. Yeah. But he just ran into it really well. That's the thing. Like, I like to I love David Mitchell. Trish does not. Because he just seems like a angry pedant. But he's a pretty skillful comedian who knows exactly what attitude he's putting forth. I think I told you I'm watching a series that he's a comedy show that he's in right now called Upstart Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm still really enjoying that. Anyway, no, we already said what this is. All right, so, oh, I have to do what the show's about.
Because apparently coffee loves it.
Coffee, it makes her smile every time, so.
She's the only one we're doing it for now.
Yep, so the rest of you can suck it. Stu recently said he's actually going to, in his work group's chat, mention the show, because he listened again for the first time in a while. And he decided he's going to tell his team about it. So we may end up with new listeners. I'm not hopeful because we don't get new listeners. We barely hold on to our old ones, and those slip away over time.
I'm just not.
Probably because of my singing.
I just don't like the idea of disappointing more people.
Why did you say gross? Yeah, that'd do it. Sorry, the producer in the back is making dinner. And having troubles. Anyway, for those of you just joining us, welcome. Let me explain how things are. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, human people mostly, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its ego-driven servants, draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. Whew!
Ego-driven, huh?
There's not a lot of E ones I can come up with.
I'm reading...
I think technically speaking, by definition, we are. If you consider our ego in like the Freudian sense, not in the pejorative.
I'm reading Hero with a Thousand Faces, and
is that the story of character actor George Hamilton?
You know what it is, Joseph Campbell.
I don't actually, but okay.
Oh, it's a Joseph Campbell book.
Oh, all right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you knew.
No.
I think it's his main book about the monomyth and the hero's journey and stuff. You're familiar with that, though.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But I mean that I'm familiar with that as like a chapter in one of my textbooks. I don't know that I've ever actually read one of his books.
It's funny you should say that because I haven't. But I bring up Joseph Campbell a lot, and like you say, a chapter in several different books, quoted in several different books. Most of the things I know or that I might quote for him that I can remember is from not from one of his books. It's from somebody else
quoting him. Yeah.
So I finished the first half of the Hero. Is it Hero of a Thousand Faces or With a Thousand Faces? I don't remember. The first half is all about the hero's journey stuff, and it's all stuff that I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
And it was like there was nothing in it I didn't know. Not a single thing. It was so weird. It's like I have never read a single book from Joseph Campbell, but I've heard so much. I've gotten so many quotes from other people's books.
It's like watching The Godfather and all you're knowing most of it.
Yeah, because of all the historical, cultural stuff you got, right? Yeah. But now I'm getting into the second part, and I suspect some of those things are going to be newer to me. But
the second part just starts with, and that's all bullshit.
No.
Let me tell you.
No, it's just that the thing from Campbell that everybody goes on and on about is the hero's journey.
Yeah.
So you know it all, basically. Yeah. And this part of it, I'm sure I haven't read excerpts from this part of it. I should have read this a long time ago, but anyway, I brought it up because you brought up the ego thing, because he's always talking about in the hero's journey how, you know, overcoming the ego, that's kind of the point.
I think,
from a mystic's standpoint.
I've been having trouble lately with intriguing and useful theories that came from people who are kind of jerks.
Okay, I love you, lady.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.
I love you, too. See, she didn't specify it was just you, so it must have been both of us.
She called us both lady.
That's fine. I don't care.
There's a big one right now for not important reasons. I have been dabbling in looking over memetics.
Sure.
And mostly for sort of narrative reasons.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of intriguing, particularly sci-fi elements to memetics.
Right.
But man, there's a lot of bullshit in there. And part of the problem is it starts with goddamn Richard Dawkins.
Oh my God.
And there's so much. Memetics is an intriguing perspective in terms of thinking about the cultural progress of information. But it really, there's a reason why a lot of people just consider it a pseudoscience, because it really gets into it as like a living organism, and like the information evolves along the same lines as Darwinian evolution. I'm like, see, I like that metaphorically, and again, in a science fiction concept.
But then a lot of times they misapply Darwinian evolution also.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
Like, they start going, and survival of the fittest. It's like, that's not
and
really...
And I'd prefer to stay away from Dawkins. This is part of the problem, is anybody who writes about atheism seems to be a dick.
Well,
I have
not
a problem with
but...
that. And The thing that I use, the game theory thing that I use, sorry, not game theory, but gaming theory, when I talk about role-playing games and the narrativist versus gamist versus simulationist, and this guy wrote this theory, and it's really handy for me to think, to use these concepts to think of what kind of game do I want to play / run, what kind of game is this, how do I influence it one way or another, things like that. What is the goal I'm going for when I'm role-playing? Very helpful and very interesting to me. This theory, however, has been pretty solidly, I don't want to say debunked, but it is now considered very out of... The theoretics has iterated several generations past this. And part of it, this is now sort of looked down upon, because again, the guy who wrote it was really full of himself. Wow. And so I'm caught again, because somebody the other day was like, you know, that's pretty much been thrown out. And I'm like, yeah, and it's not like I'm trying to, you know, I'm not doing dissertations on it or anything. I find it a useful tool for thinking about my gaming experience. And like, yeah, mostly it just got thrown out because the guy was a serious dick who thought it was the answer to everything. Well, damn it.
Well, one thing I was surprised to see in this book was how committed, I hadn't realized this before, and maybe I should have known it based on other things I knew, but I hadn't realized before how committed Joseph Campbell seemed to be to the principles of psychoanalysis and Freud and to all of it. I mean, not just the parts we can still accept, like the unconscious.
So in other words, you're probably about to dive into the exact same problem I've been having.
Yeah, I mean, well, I knew that he wasn't, you know, he approaches this with the idea that he's looked at all of these myths and all these stories, and he's found a commonality amongst all of them, and therefore he doesn't bring any of his own biases to it. But of course he does. Yeah. And I don't just mean the psychoanalysis stuff. I mean, there's clearly a Western, even outside of the psychoanalysis stuff, there's clearly a Western sensibility to how he looks at them all and brings them all together.
Well, and at best it's literary criticism.
Sure.
Which can't have a single objective answer.
Like Freud, he's not wrong about everything,
yeah.
But he is wrong about some things. But, as you pointed out with your example, it's still all very useful.
Yeah,
and
you can notice things, and that's useful, but you have to acknowledge that you are then interpreting those things you've noticed.
Right. So I've been I'm kind of embarrassed that I didn't read a long time ago, because this is kind of my thing. You know, this is kind of my field. You'd think of all the people that I would have read. But since I've always felt very familiar with his work, because everyone else talks about it and quotes it and everything, and it just occurred to me not very long ago, maybe a year ago, like, I have actually not read any of his work myself, and I'm not really interested in reading all of his stuff, but I figured if I'm going to read one thing, it's going to be this thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of gratified that I am familiar with it. There's some justification for me not having read it, because I did learn a lot of what I needed to learn from other sources, but it is interesting to see how into Freud he is. And also there's a whole other half of the book that I'm quite certain I'm not going to be familiar with. So I look forward to reading. I'm just reading a little bit every night before I go to bed to help me sleep. That's just something I've been doing.
All right. Should we do this? Should we do the end game thing?
I imagine. I don't have a lot to say about it.
Me neither. I'm excited then that you don't, because I don't either.
Oh.
I'm like, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this.
Oh, okay.
But I also don't think we should not mention it. It was a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's already a $2 billion movie.
Yeah.
We don't know if it's going to unseat Avatar or not, but it might.
Originally, I was thinking about it, and I was like, I don't think we can talk about this without spoiling stuff, and we just have to sort of prepare people for that. And at this point, most of them have seen it anyway and whatever. But now I think about it, I'm like, no, I don't have a lot to say. I think I can do it without spoiling, because... I mean, don't get me wrong, I can and have on multiple times go off for an hour on this into some very specific details, but I don't particularly want to. All right, what was your take? What did you think of it?
Well, I mean, I think I mentioned to you an email that I wasn't bored. I was...
No, actually, interesting, despite being longer, it didn't feel as long as Infinity War felt.
It didn't, no.
Which is to its credit, because it was a fucking long movie.
Infinity War bored me quite a bit, and this one didn't bore me.
I think, and I mean, you could say that this is true in this one. Like, I guess, spoiler alert for Endgame, the universe doesn't get destroyed. But I feel like even more so with Infinity War, at least I did. The people I was with, not so much, but I knew how that movie was going to end.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So there was a little less, like... oh, what's going to happen? Like, I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, there were, I would say there were surprises, but not in like,
and it was,
whoa,
it
I didn't
was
see
emotional
that,
and things like that, sure, but sure. It's like, yeah, no, this is what I expected it to do.
Things that, there were things in the film that you didn't necessarily see coming, or, you know, you knew what the possibilities were, but you didn't know which thing they were going to do.
But this one, there was a lot of, I mean, again, I was pretty sure it would end not with the universe being destroyed.
Right, sure.
But there were a lot of ways to go at it. And they went in the direction I did not expect, at least in terms of sort of specifics.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't have expectations either.
In a very broad sense, like my, you know, there's like three or four ways you could approach this. They picked one of those. But like, in general, the way the plot went was not how I expected the plot to go.
No, that's same. That's exactly how I felt about it.
To that credit.
Yeah, right.
And it has a lot of baggage that the MCU has. We talked a little bit about this already. MCU has an issue with women. They didn't really do it better this time. I guess they did it a little better than Infinity War, but not much.
I'm not sure they did very well with people of color either.
No.
Not Infinity War either, for that matter.
No, but to be fair, Nick Fury and Black Panther... But Nick Fury, the character, and Black Panther, the movie, notwithstanding, the MCU's never done well by people of color either.
Exactly.
It all felt...
Which I don't think Black Panther makes up for that any more than Captain Marvel does.
Well, I mean, it's an absolute step. But now you have to make more of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And the good news is they're going to make more of both of them.
Yeah, I guess
so
that's
I like that. But this is a stupid thing to say about my CGI-filled superhero movie, but it felt fake. Like, a lot of the plot points and resolutions felt... I could feel the Russo brothers... like molding the clay so that we could get this particular kind of ending here, or we could have this moment here and stuff like that, which is not good.
No.
But at the same time, was effective in giving me closure that I really did need from having seen 21 other movies.
Well, the character work they did, I thought, was, like you say, it was kind of transparent, but it was effective.
Yeah.
And it really made you not... pay attention so much to the plot, which I think the plot was really not anything
people
paying attention to.
The word has been tossed around, this was satisfying, and I'm like, I'm not comfortable using that word, but I'm comfortable using a lesser version of that. I would say when I left, I felt content. This felt... I was not feeling conflicted about the ending of this...
No, it was a
suitable
ending
by this point. And that's good, because I needed that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of dumb stuff.
Yeah.
There was a lot of dumb stuff. A lot of it has to do with one basic con... Oh, fuck it. Small spoiler. Endgame has time travel in it.
Which most people guessed it would.
And Endgame... and by extension, the MCU, has the worst time travel paradigm I've ever seen in my life, in that they explain it as very dumb, and then they proceed to contradict the shit out of themselves throughout the film.
As soon as it came up, while I was watching it, I immediately thought of you, because
you know that I feel about time travel stories the way I feel about breeding. You should have to take a test and get certified before you can do it.
No, because you actually... I don't care for time travel stories in general, but I don't really have in my mind an idea of, well, this paradigm is worse than this paradigm, but you do.
Oh, so much.
So I wondered,
as narrative devices, because in general, the way to have time travel an effective narrative device is to either do it really, really well, or to do it really, really fuzzy and vague. Like, you either do Primer or you do goddamn Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Like, in between, this is why, like, Timeless turned me off so fast, because they're immediately like, oh, you can change the timeline and things will happen. And I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to bring that point up, that's not at all how that would look. So they explain their time travel paradigm in a scene that is entirely made for comedy effect. And admittedly, it's kind of a funny scene. But it's a real dumb explanation. And then later, they have... people keep trying to defend this other explanation they have later. And I'm like, that thing is... they are talking about a very specific situation that does not cover most of the things that happened in this movie. And then they just proceed to do whatever the fuck they want, whether it has anything to do with how they explained it or not.
So... you remember when it was first brought up, a particular character sort of summarized it. You know,
yes.
Said, think about it, and then... and
yes, summarized. And that was the funny scene.
I did not understand a word of that. And I've since seen it written down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
and
no,
it's
no,
like,
no, no, no.
This does not make sense.
That's why I say it's a funny scene.
People keep quoting it like it makes sense. Like, no. Oh, well, they brilliantly explain this by saying this. And I look at it and I say, please explain to me what this means, because this seems like nonsense.
No, the apologist in me... could explain to you what that means, but it was a very poor wording of that, and also, that's not what happened.
I guess I don't care that I didn't understand.
That's the
it.
Thing. It's like their explanation, besides being really dumb, was not at all then what they did.
It didn't make any sense.
No.
Not a lot to me.
And so many things that followed didn't. One of the scenes near the end was cool enough that like the hairs on my arm stood up and stuff. I got excited in the right places and things. But you know, I mean, it's an adequate cap on the process, and the process is something that Marvel should, that is impressive.
Oh yeah.
This run of movies is impressive, and it's already leading me in particular to be like, I don't know that they'll do this again. I mean, the MCU is going on, and they will still have movies, and the movies will all still exist essentially in the same continuity. But I don't know that we're going to do a lot of building up to crossover things
much. There's going
to
be streaming
stuff. Because it's a lot of effort, and also we're not going to keep going for it. Like, once it was original this time. We're not just going to be into that every time. If you haven't seen Endgame and you don't want spoilers, see it as soon as you can. We are now in a world where there is a movie trailer out that starts with a warning that you should not watch it unless you've seen Endgame, because there are Endgame spoilers in the trailer for this other movie.
Yeah.
That being said, have you seen that trailer?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am even more excited for that movie.
So this doesn't count as movies? You're not going to worry about Marvel movies anymore?
This is a fucking problem. Endgame is done.
Yeah,
well, although I did say through phase 3, and phase 3 technically ends with the next one, but Endgame is done. I no longer am required to see all the MCU movies.
Yeah.
Every single one they have announced so far, I want to see.
Really?
Except maybe the third Ant-Man, which they haven't said anything about. But I just keep holding on to that. I'm like, as a form of protest, regardless, I'm not going to see the third Ant-Man. But yeah, Black Panther 2 was never not going to see that. Captain Marvel 2, I really want to see that because I want to see if they'll live up to the potential. I hate myself for it, but I'm really into this new Spider-Man. Guardians 3, especially now that James Gunn's back on board, absolutely. I forget what else is out there. I want to see these. I hate that I want to see them, but I do.
You thought that James Gunn should have been brought back?
Absolutely.
Okay. I didn't know. We never talked about James Gunn, I don't think. Maybe we didn't. I don't remember.
No, I don't think we spent a lot of time on that. Well, okay. And I should rephrase. I did think, ethically, that he didn't need to be fired, shouldn't have been fired, should have been brought back. Completely unrelated to that, I think he did a brilliant job with the first three, the first two, very much wanted to see his third, and definitely think it would have been worse had he ultimately stayed off of the project. Mm. And now that he is back on, I am extra eager to see volume 3.
Sure.
But I also, I mean, that to me, that the ethics and how good I think the movie will be are unrelated to each other.
Right, sure.
But yeah, I mean, I don't feel like rehashing that. But yes, I do think, well, We'll start with the fact that I don't think any of these companies ever give a shit about the ethics involved.
I don't think so either.
From a business decision, it was smarter for Disney to bring him back. But also, yeah, I don't, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I think that's all we really got to say about.
There really isn't
shawarma in this one.
No.
There's a mid-credits thing that is really just sort of a retrospective, cool, animated credits thing, but it's not. It doesn't tell you anything, and there really is no end shawarma except the sound of. Spoilers, the sound of a hammer on an anvil, which apparently represents like 12 different things, but just like metaphorically, like it means nothing specific. Although apparently the soundbite is specifically from a particular movie, but whatever. Yeah, so that's it about that. All right, what about the rest of your 2 weeks?
I mean, we're watching a lot of HBO stuff along with Game of Thrones. I mean, we're watching the last season of Veep. We're watching Gentleman Jack. We're watching...
Oh, we need to get on Gentleman Jack.
We're watching Barry.
Are you watching Barry?
Yeah.
Had you watched Barry before?
No.
Where are you?
I mean, I think we're caught up.
All right. How is season two?
It's good. It's got some really great moments in it.
We
sure.
watched season one.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked it, except for the times when I really hated it. Not because it was bad. On an objective level, it's an amazing piece of dark comedy. But it really managed to drag me around. Like, some parts were really funny, and other parts just felt really uncomfortable for me. And, like, dark in ways that I did not enjoy. But then... next thing you know, it's doing some stuff that I just think is hilarious or stuff that I think is really clever. It was enough of an emotional roller coaster that I have not yet come back for the second season. A little to how I was with Westworld, because we still haven't watched second season of Westworld.
Well, I mean, if I'd heard the pitch for this show, I probably would have rolled my eyes thinking, okay, yeah, you know, let's do more Dexter type stuff. And I'm still not thrilled with the basic premise, it seems a little...
You have to... If you give me the premise as a pitch, you have to add two things. One, that it's a comedy. Genuinely a comedy. And two, that it's goddamn Bill Hader. Because it doesn't work without him.
He's kind of a genius.
Yeah, and this... I mean, the show premise, but also that character, doesn't work without Bill Hader.
But I mean, I think I read somewhere that... You know, he was... He kind of... on a whim more than anything, it sounds like. He was doing completely other things with his life, not drama, not show business, not anything. And he decided to get involved with, I think acting at first. I don't think it was comedy, but
yeah.
Someone knew someone. And so then he just, on a lark, did some improv or comedy club stuff. And then someone happened to be there who knew someone who worked for SNL. I mean, he hadn't been doing it for very long when he was... accepted as an SNL cast member.
He's got the thing.
Yeah, he's got the stuff. I mean, yeah. When someone can do that, well, I shouldn't say, like, there is one guy in SNL, I forget his name, but his story also kind of fell into working in SNL. I think he's terrible.
And so, yeah, sometimes it's who you know. But
Hader's really good.
Hader's just got the talent, and he always has.
It just comes natural, I guess. And he must not have realized he was good at that stuff.
And don't get me wrong. Some of the characters, some of the bits he's done, I have not enjoyed. But it was a personal taste issue. The man's brilliant at it.
Well,
and this is such a tricky and precarious position to be in the role of Barry.
Well, that,
and I think he's nailing it.
But also, again, since
the whole cast is nailing it, though. Like, the woman who's ostensibly the love interest, I mean, that's the closest thing I can define her as, creeps me the fuck out. And, like, in such a way that I keep feeling like it's not intentional. But, like, I have such weird feelings about her. Henry Winkler, if it was just his character, if it was just, like, a half hour of him monologuing every episode, I would be watching that repeatedly.
It's pretty good.
I love him as this character.
I think the premise could easily fail. And,
yeah.
But it's not. It's totally working.
Because you think there's not enough to go on. I was amazed it came back for another season. I'm like, how do you continue this? But you do.
No, it's...
It's already been renewed for a third.
I mean, I don't know about the tone of it. That's another thing about the show. It's, and a lot of shows struggle with this, I notice, that are comedies especially, is sometimes it seems like it's a comedy all right, but it's playing it kind of straight. I mean, like... They're fairly realistic situations with fairly realistic people. And then you'll have an episode where things are happening that that are kind of wacky and it's almost 30 Rock-ish. It's like, wait a minute, that's not the kind of show this was. And now it is? Or
And it relies, I think a lot of it relies heavily on what is frequently referred to as cringe comedy. And I don't do well with that.
No,
like,
either.
I still, there are some things that qualify as that I... A lot of Arrested Development was cringe comedy, and I loved Arrested Development, but it's such a precarious thing for me, and I think that's part of what it
well,
is,
I think,
too.
I think the reason Barry works for me, and I think my wife would agree with this, too, is...
Soho Hank? Or, sorry, Noho Hank?
He's funny,
but... Yeah, he's absolutely... I mean, he's the fucking Balky Bartokomus. Like, he's funny for being goofy. Like, there's nothing super genius about him or anything. He's just a good comic relief.
I think... Because the Barry's character, I'm not sure he really ever had to be an assassin for this to work, by the way, but I whatever.
For those not familiar with Barry, Barry's the story of an assassin who, on a job in L.A., discovers that maybe what he really wants to be is an actor, and so he starts taking acting classes while still being assassin, and hijinks ensue.
And the reason that he is an assassin are fairly cliche. It's like you've seen this 1,000 times before. But Hader,
ex-military, kill the bad guys.
Can't fit in. This is the only thing he's good at. Baloney.
Yeah.
But the what makes it stand out is Hader. He plays this, and it's not the assassin aspect. It's the watching him see people acting. I don't know how he does it. I mean, he can just see the wheels turning, like something's happening there, and you can see a transformation happening with him. It's really fascinating. He's just really good at putting it together. And the other characters, supporting characters, are very good too. Everybody is.
I fall slightly short of really being sympathetic to him, and that may be a problem for me also.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't really like him.
I don't know if
like
I like
the character.
I don't know if I like him or not. I just like that I understand what's
happening
with him.
He feels very authentic in this, frankly, absurd.
Well, but
in character,
and so much of it's visual.
Yeah.
The script.
Oh
is,
yeah, he doesn't speak a lot.
Yeah, the script is good, but most of the most powerful stuff is nobody saying anything. Frequently
he's not. People are talking around
him.
And he's not talking.
He's reacting to it, responding to it, and a lot of times it's. It's not like his expression is, I don't know. He's just very good. And
there's a lot of what I consider gettable, but still sort of in jokes about wannabe actors in L.A.
Right.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Guys, I read this article about living in a bubble, and I realized I think I'm living in a bubble. Have you considered you might be living in a bubble?
It's pretty good.
Notice Darcy, what's her name? The woman who plays Janet in The Good Place.
She's in it, yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen some interviews with her now, and I'm falling in love with her.
She's good in it, too. She doesn't do a lot, but it's hilarious what she does. The show's got lots of little moments like that that are small, but really well done. It's like
I am caught up on The Good Place, too, by the way.
Oh, good. Were you satisfied with the second season? Or
Third. I've seen.
Oh, I haven't seen the third season.
Oh, you haven't seen the third season.
No.
Oh, it'd be interesting then. I do have to say, I still love this show. I still love this show. And it has things that make me really love it. I think, and I'll be able to test this theory because I'm going to make Trish watch the whole thing and I'm going to watch it with her. I think I like each season a little less than the previous season.
Yeah, I'm sure that's. I'm not surprised by that.
But I don't know. I'm going to be curious to see how it plays out. Later, because they keep having to sort of change things up because it's too weird to keep going unless you really change things around. But no, I did like second season a lot, and I like third season especially. For all the each season is very, very different. I'm starting to discover a plot pattern to the seasons. And so I'm following that through, and part of it is the last probably handful of episodes in each season tend to actually start moving things along, and they get very interesting, and I like those. And I really like that a lot in third season as well.
We've been watching some of the HBO documentaries, too. They're mostly crime things.
I've been watching a lot of things because as of Tuesday, we are officially cord cutters.
What's that mean?
We no longer have any TV channels.
Okay. I mean, so because you're, I don't understand. How are you going to not watch TV? I thought that was a thing for you to have TV.
Yeah, and I don't know more. But no, this is any TV channels.
Oh, okay.
The cable company, Mediacom, has TV channels.
Yeah.
We don't have them anymore.
Oh. And you don't have your internet through, say, Mediacom.
Yeah, we do still have our internet through Mediacom. Oh, okay. We don't have any TV anymore.
Oh, okay.
We finally did it.
I didn't know that was a plan.
Yes, because of a lot of factors. The biggest one being was we were paying an obscene amount of money to Mediacom. And because we had all the channels. We had all the channels except some of the sports ones. And weirdly, we had some of the sports ones on accident somehow. But we had expanded basic cable. We had three tiers of digital cable. We had HBO. I don't even know what else we had. We had a ton of stuff.
Okay.
We had the DVR. We had all this stuff. Now we have none of it.
So you're just going to buy streaming services and things?
Yes. Yes.
And that's going to be good enough, do you think?
Yes. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
So we already had at this point. This is the problem. We were getting streaming services and we weren't watching live TV.
Oh.
Like, once, like maybe three shows a year would we watch off of the DVR. And that's because the DVR recorded them. We are never, like, in a hurry. So, like, the next season of whatever comes out, okay, I can wait until it's on a streaming service.
Mm.
I don't need to watch it right now. The exception being third season of Good Place. I just bought it off of Amazon because I'm like, I'm not fucking waiting around on this. So we weren't using it. And we were paying a ton for this. And then meanwhile, we've got Netflix. We've got Amazon Prime. I got BritBox, watching a ton of that. I got Shudder. I watch a lot of movies off of that. And everybody is talking about Hulu and how good Hulu is.
Yeah.
And also that Hulu, well, there are a lot of streaming live TV options now, and Hulu has one. But beyond that, Hulu has a lot of stuff where it's like you can watch the show the next day.
Yeah, right. They've always been like that.
Holy shit. And we don't have Hulu because we're like, we don't need every streaming service. And I'm like, Hulu's not that expensive.
No.
Compared to what we're paying to the cable company.
Sure.
What the hell? And then the final straw, well, there were a couple of final straws. One, we finally got the connection to work in the back because of the repeater. We got a smart TV in there, so now Trish is watching streaming services back there.
Mm-hmm.
We never hooked up any TV channels back there. But we can watch Netflix and Amazon and stuff in the bedroom now. So we have two of those working. And in November, Disney Plus is coming out, which I didn't think I'd get, but it's going to have everything, and it's going to be $6.99 a month without ads, and it's going to be the exclusive home of The Simpsons.
Really?
They bought Fox.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's going
to
happen.
That was the one that I was like, fuck, we have to get Disney Plus. And then I'm like, and then once I find out Trish is fine with this because the connection works and everything, I'm like, I should do this. So I did it. It was rough.
It was?
Yeah. Have you ever called a cable company to try and decrease the amount of stuff you were paying them for?
No.
Yeah. Do it armed.
Oh.
I understand you're on the phone, but still do it armed. It was multiple calls. I got really mad. I got sent to the people that talked to the mad people. It was a whole deal. I tried originally because there's this bundling thing and we're getting a discount because we have internet and phone and TV. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to get down to like the least amount of TV. And that was a whole thing where a technician was going to have to come in. We would lose like because I'm looking at my bill. We would lose like $120 worth of stuff, but somehow it would only be like $60 less a month. And I'm like, what is this? I'm like, what if I get rid of the phone too? And they're like, it wouldn't change the package price. It would be exactly the same. And I'm like, what? So I'm just like, this is infuriating. I hate this. And meanwhile, they're trying to game you. They're like, well, what channels do you watch? And I finally said, for the purposes of this conversation, I watch the channels in that basic package, whatever those channels are. Because I was like, I'm not fucking playing this game. And because they're trying to upsell and everything. So finally, I gave up. And then I called back later. And somehow the word got through that I was pissed. Because I got sent to a very different person who was much more amenable and straightforward and just did what I asked. So here is where it is now. We have the same streaming services we had. Mm-hmm. We now have HBO Now because we lost HBO Go when we canceled our HBO subscription.
Okay.
Which is identical. We also now have Hulu without ads. And we are paying, I don't know, the math has changed a couple of times in my head, but probably $100 to $120 less a month.
Wow.
Yes. And what's more, Hulu is amazing.
Is it?
Every fucking thing is on Hulu. Those Addams Family things you had to get on disc, but all on Hulu.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Every episode of MASH on Hulu. Every episode of Bob's Burgers on Hulu. I thought I was going to be stuck not watching The Simpsons for a while because I didn't have a thing. No, the current entire season of Simpsons is on Hulu. British shows I wasn't getting on BritBox are on Hulu. Every episode of Travel Man is on Hulu. Shows I had forgotten existed. That sci-fi 12 Monkeys show that the sci-fi app doesn't even have on it. All the seasons are on Hulu. So much stuff. And then the original series. I really wanted to see it for that Aidy Bryant show, Shrill, on there. The one with Billy Eichner and Judy Clausen, Difficult People, that ran for 3 seasons and is now done. Forgot. That's all on there. There's a ton of stuff on there. A surprisingly robust anime collection.
We used to watch, for a while, if we didn't catch a show on television, we'd watch it on Hulu because there was a...
Back when there was a free, an actual free version.
Yeah, because most shows you could watch the next day on Hulu for free. Now, if you waited 5 days, you wouldn't be able to.
Well, and nowadays it's often like the most recent 4 episodes.
Sure.
So you can't wait for a whole... If you wait for the whole season, you're going to have to wait until the whole season's available.
Most things were on there.
Yeah, and it's still a bunch of that.
Huh.
It's... Awesome. And yeah, there's just a ton of stuff.
I wonder how they manage that. How did?
Well, and way cheaper than Netflix.
Yeah. Which doesn't...
If you want to do ads, it's $6.99. We're doing it without ads, it's $11.99. Netflix is fucking charging us $15 now because they upped the price again.
Well, and Netflix barely streams any of that stuff.
Yeah.
If you Netflix... can only get it on disc, some of it. Most of it.
Well, and a lot of Netflix appeal to me now is Netflix is grabbing all these weird international TV shows and stuff that I've never heard of, and they look cool. So I'm not getting rid of Netflix, but I'm pretty sure, talk to me in a few weeks, and if you tell me you have to ditch Hulu or Netflix, I'm ditching Netflix.
Yeah. But that's
really
what I mean.
Impressed.
How is Hulu getting all that stuff, but Netflix can't? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, Netflix can get basically anything as long as it's on disc, but for streaming, it seems like they really struggle to get stuff to stream.
I don't know. There's a lot of trade-off. I mean, some stuff they both have. But also, like, The Good Place, Hulu has season 3. Only season 3.
Mm.
Netflix has season 1 and 2.
Mm.
Things like that. Hulu used to have a bunch of CW stuff, and now that's mostly on Netflix. But, I mean, the big thing, of course, is Netflix is going to lose all its Marvel and all its Disney and all its Lucasfilm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I've heard.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's all going to Disney. So this is awesome. And, in fact, we put a bunch of the money now. We're just monthly putting it into our savings account because we have savings, but it's never growing. And, in fact, it's usually shrinking because we, you know, go on a trip or something. So now it's just going to very quietly put money in there. So yeah, I'm feeling great. And there's something about not having the cable TV and not spending that in, like, it was an embarrassing amount of money. And now I'm not embarrassed by it. And I like the streaming services better. This weekend I'm going to take in the box. As the one downside to all this, we have to buy a clock. Because the only clock in that room is on the cable box.
you might like the clock.
We did buy a clock.
Oh.
We bought one already, and it's non-digital, and it looks pretty cool. We haven't put it up yet. We came today. And the other thing is, I still use the TV in that I would have it on in the background because there were certain channels that I knew that I could always see The Simpsons or Parks and Rec or The Office or Golden Girls or whatever. And most of those I can now stream, but it's still different to go in there and, like, pick an episode rather than just turn it on and whatever's on is on.
Right.
So, but I'm even practicing now because technically, even though it went effective as of the day it happened, we still are getting the channels and everything while the box is in there. But I'm practicing. I'm, like, not letting myself watch them. And I'm trying other stuff. So, yeah, I don't know why. I'm just super overjoyed about that. Very excited. But now I'm not playing video games. And I'm still not writing because I'm just watching all this damn TV. So, got to work on that. All right, let's draw something because we're almost out of time.
We're not playing anything right now either.
Oh, you're done with Red Dead?
I mean, I don't know. It's just...
I think I'm basically done with Fallout. I haven't touched it in a couple weeks.
Azure Talon.
Azure Talon.
Hat persons.
Guess that's us.
What's the difference between a well-dressed man on a tricycle and a poorly dressed man on a bicycle?
Is that really all it says?
Yeah.
Like he didn't answer it?
No.
I assume this is a really horrible joke of some kind.
Oh, you think so?
It's Azure Talon, so yes. If you'll recall correctly, he made a joke about the withdrawal method of birth control and vampires.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, this is either a really dumb question or it's a really effective trolling mechanism. Because I feel like this is a joke I should know the punchline to.
Okay, I don't know.
But I don't.
Okay.
But I feel like I should. But I don't know if that's because he's just dumb in assuming that we would know this, or if this is specifically designed to fuck with me and, like, make me think there's a thing, but there's not a thing.
I mean, I presume he means besides the obvious.
I mean, one is dressed more poorly and has one less wheel.
Yeah. I mean, that, but that's the obvious answer, so
yeah. There
must be another answer.
Yeah, I don't know. So instead, I'm going to talk about something unrelated.
Okay.
So, Hozier, the guy who did the Take Me to Church song that was a big deal. You remember this guy?
I don't think so.
You should listen, guy. You'd like this guy.
Okay.
He's an Irish singer-songwriter who is very clearly very heavily influenced by blues and soul music.
Okay.
And he got very big with this song called Take Me to Church. Okay. Like a year or two ago. It was a huge hit. Take me to church. I worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. Anyway, everybody else knows it except for you. But he put out a second album, which I only just recently discovered he had done and was on my Apple Tunes. So I got it, and I'm listening to it, and I'm enjoying it. And one of the things I like, one of the songs I like in it, is... Okay, so I... historically have an issue with a lot of mainstream romance things.
Yeah, so do I.
And a lot of it has to be, like, and this is where Trish and I get in trouble. She's really into these, like, protestations of eternal devotion, and I'm always like, you just met, you're 16, like, things like, I'm like, no, you can't know that, you're just saying words. Like, they're not, It's so dumb to say right here, I'm going to, like, and actually, as I get older, I appreciate and also hate that more, because as I get older, I'm like, I can say those things about Trish, because you know what? When I say I'm committed to her forever, I know who the hell I'm talking about and who the hell I am.
Sure, right.
And it means something now. But, so this is the thing I run into, and there's a song I really love on this album, because, and, you know, his lyrics are all weird and stuff, so I could very much be misinterpreting this, but I don't think I am. It's essentially an atheist love song.
Oh, atheist love song.
Called There's No Plan.
Oh.
And it pretty much is about how there is, it repudiates the concept of destiny and is just like, I like you, and if you like me, we should be together. But, like, to me, it's a very authentic protestation of love, but part of it is to say, like, this is not fate or anything like that. This is just, and in fact, the line in the chorus in which he offers is, "I'll be your man if you've got love to get done."
If you've got love to get done.
Yes, which is just great phrasing. If you got some love to get done, I'll be your man. It's fine. But I just love it. Yeah, it's just like there's no plan. There's no hand on the reins. There's no kingdom to come. None of this. And there's also a lot with, like, let's enjoy our time in this sort of random, unplanned universe thing. But I just love how they're both committed. Because I can imagine what an atheist song sounds like, and it's just smug bullshit. But this one, I'm like, no, this is a love song. And, in fact, pointing out that you don't believe in that stuff is genuinely part of the love song and why how you're expressing this love.
I mean, one thing I've never understood, because what you're describing sounds better to me. I mean, I've never understood when someone talks about destiny and all this stuff. It's like, so you don't really have a choice in it? I mean, it doesn't seem very romantic that you're being forced by God or some.
Well, and this is where the whole free will thing gets weird, because it's like, you know what? If your higher power knows all and can do all, then you already don't have free will, because whatever you were going to decide, they knew it, and they built you knowing it, and so it's all predicted. If you have free will, then on some level, well, okay, and the only way it works is if you have a completely omniscient being and free will, is if that omniscient being does not tell you things, and therefore things like prophecy and stuff like that don't work.
Yeah.
Because that will impact what happens.
It just, yeah, or even notions of, you know, one of the things I read in Campbell recently was a belief that some people have that they're, you know, that everybody who is on the planet was once one person, and then they're divided in two.
Yeah.
And of course, specifically male and female, specifically heterosexual male and female.
Yeah.
It's like, how is that romantic? How is this idea of, oh, you know, we belong together, we were destined. How is that? Isn't it more romantic that someone, by their own choice, sees something beautiful in you and wants to kill you? Because
there's the concept that I am incomplete without you.
But that's so narcissistic.
And it's like, no, I can. Well, and also it's just it diminishes it to me.
Yeah.
Because what it should be is I am complete, as are you. I want to be with you.
Yeah, right. That's
I'm not saying I need you to, like, be my other leg. I'm saying I like you and I like being with you.
Yeah, there's no compliment there at all to say you complete me. It's like, whoa.
And it's just,
what?
The one that's been.
I'm not a, like you said, I'm not a prosthetic arm or something. I'm a person.
Like, this came up recently when discussing, I think we were specifically discussing recent changes to Latter-day Saints doctrine. But it works a lot with the Mormon faith, and it works with the Catholic faith especially, but even with some of the more evangelicals amongst the Protestant faith. When you have a doctrine in your church and then later you change it, when one pope says this is how things are and then later a later pope says actually this is okay, or when your church spent this whole time saying gay people are an abomination and can't be, and then later they're like, no, it's allowable. Even when you allow women to be members of the clergy and you didn't used to. Here's the thing. if you've got one of those faiths that has the sacraments and the truth and the revelation by God, there's only two explanations for why that happened, why you made that change. Either you're saying the previous people who handed down the rules of your church and who interpreted and announced to you that revelation by God were wrong, which that's a big problem if it's supposed to literally be God told them.
Yeah.
Or you're saying that God changed his mind, which is also a big problem. So I'm like, how do people cope with that? How do people say the scripture is literally revelation from God? It is to be interpreted as it is. There is no miscommunication. But as time has gone on, we have evolved some of the beliefs.
Well, not everybody.
No, a lot of them don't. But a surprising number do. And I never understand how
the Seventh-day Adventist
that
Church
works.
I don't know if you know this, but the Seventh-day Adventist Church recognized a prophet in their early beginnings.
No, I didn't.
Named Ellen White. And she talked about how the church has present truth, which means at any given moment, in any given epoch, or not epoch necessarily, but any given time, mm-hmm. the church only has the dogma of the church, the teaching of the church, the practices of the church are only as good as people have figured things out up to that moment. So therefore, you know, she acknowledged that 50 years from now, the church might look very
yeah.
different because we are going to evolve in our understanding of how things work. And so that was kind of a big deal in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now, even though that was something that the prophet of the church said, you still had a lot of people in your local congregation who seemed pretty close-minded about what was what,
yeah.
dogma-wise. But that was the teaching of the person who was a co-founder of the church, that, look, anything I tell you, might be completely different down the road, because all we can do is what we base things on our understanding now. Our understanding might be different in 50 years, so the church might be different in 50 years, which I always thought was a good way to look at it.
Yes, and it means you can't be hardline.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You can't be hardline that this will get you into hell, or this is a, like...
That's right.
Because my answer to you then is, okay, in 50 years, we'll see what you say. And sometimes they change their mind. And sometimes they change... Sometimes, 3 goddamn years later, due to an outcry from its members, an entire huge faith decides to completely change an important aspect of their doctrine.
Yeah, usually there's a split in that denomination at that point.
But not in this case.
I'm talking
about the LDS. Like, 3 years ago, they claimed homosexuals were not okay, but were considered apostates to the faith.
Oh, they did,
which I'm pretty sure in LDS means you're going to outer darkness. It's the only, I think that's one of the few things that can actually send you to hell in the Mormon
faith.
This was
something they determined 3 years ago?
They established it as doctrine. They officially announced this is the case.
Didn't know that.
And enough members freaked the fuck out that this year they were like, okay, they're not apostates. We still don't approve. It's still a sin. But you're not apostates. You're not.
Huh.
Because there were gay members of the church, because there were fucking gay Mormons, and they suddenly threw them out. And then 3 years later, I'm sorry, the ghost of Joseph Smith did not show up and tell anybody anything. 3 years later, they were like, wow, we're angering a lot of our members, and we might cause a split in our church if we keep it this way. Let's change it. And I'm like, then which is it? Is it God's rules and he changed his mind, or is it that you are unfit for leadership?
Yeah, well, that's the...
Or is it that we don't know that well, and we have to do with the best that we get?
That's the corner that churches paint themselves into when, moment to moment, they insist that they have the truth.
The truth, exactly.
And
if your church wants to say, this is what we believe, that's fine, as long as I don't have to believe it. as long as you can, I am absolutely fine with you thinking I'm going to hell, as long as it doesn't impact me.
Well, this is...
But it never doesn't
This is the problem
me.
With a lot of religions, not just Christian religions. is the whole proselytizing angle, the whole angle that it's not just that we believe this, it's that we think we have a moral obligation to get other people to believe
yes,
it.
Yes, because we believe this is the only truth. Yeah, so you're going to ruin your immortal soul if we don't teach you and convert you.
That just strikes me as being very backwards.
Yeah. So thank you, Azutelin, for a wonderful question. As you can see, it sparked a lot of great debate. If you'd like to tell us spoilers from Avengers Endgame, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. And also, stop watching cable TV. You don't need it. Get Hulu. This episode brought to you by Hulu. Without ads.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.